Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
God is able. Everybody say able. To make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Hebrews says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And then in Acts, but you will receive what? When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Father, your word does not return void. Your Holy Spirit quickens it within us. And we're asking, Lord, for that revelation that you have for us this day. We want to hear what the Spirit would say to the church, and we agree together for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Now, maybe I just turned, there I go. As I said, I feel like Moses coming down from the mountain with this incredible voice after having seen God. How many people saw God last week? Well, most of you. How many people felt his presence last week? Let's put it that way, so it's not a trick question, okay? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. And the Lord says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Is that right? Never. And I am with you always. So we've been looking at this whole year about grace and mercy. And what we saw at the beginning is God needs us. I was listening to someone this morning, and one of the international pastors was talking about is this the end times? Is this the end times for America? And he was talking about the revivals that in the past that happened in this nation. And it always comes at the point where the nation is at its lowest. Not its highest, but its lowest. And that's the truth. Some people only look up when they're flat on their backs. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's an understanding that we're seeing in the nation today, and we've been talking about it all year, that there's going to be promised by God in Scripture, as we've talked about, a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Joel chapter 2 says it, in the end days, in the end times, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And there's going to be prophesying. There's going to be signs and wonders. There's going to be a revelation of the power of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pass the ketchup. Something.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Like we've never seen before. And I believe that when... Do you remember for those... 2001, 15 years ago. Do you remember what happened in this nation after the planes hit the towers? It was absolutely amazing, the numbers of people that came to church. It was incredible. We're breaking records everywhere. And then, like human nature, a month later, everything's cool. And what do I need God for? Isn't that sad? When we know who God is and the understanding of the benefit of knowing that relationship with God, that understanding that he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to not to harm you, but to prosper you. Now, why would anybody in their right minds reject something like that? You know what the answer is? Blinded. They're blind. In fact, the world, what the scripture says, that the things of the Lord are what? Foolishness to those who are perishing. And that's why they call it good news. And someone's been messing with the good news. And they have heard, I was talking to somebody last week in a counseling session, most people reject a God who doesn't exist. And I've had people in my office come and say, you know, I went to church once, I tried it and all that kind of stuff, but it just doesn't work for me. And I said, well, explain give me an example of who you think God is. And they'll go about whatever they do. Well, you know, there's so many rules and regulations and all these different things that we have to do, and, you know, we can't have fun anymore. Just a litany of things. And I'm afraid that he's going to punish us. And why would God allow these bad things to happen if he's a good God? So he's not a good God. And as I said, most people reject a God who doesn't exist. That's not the God of the Bible. God's not up there with a great big stick ready to hit somebody if you do something wrong. He's not up there condemning us. It's the exact opposite. The loving, caring, compassionate God that says, come to me, you who are heavy laden, and I will get you rest. But the sad thing that happens, the only time that people come to them when there's no place else to go. Like they said, used to say in the military, there was no atheists in foxholes. So what happens, God, not by his choice at all, and I've given you the answer when people say over, when they say, how could God do this? How could God let this happen? And of course, for those listening online, for you who have not heard, it's a legitimate question. How could a loving, caring God that you're telling me about allow these things to go on, and earthquakes and people being killed and all the terrorism and all that kind of stuff? I mean, if he was a sovereign God like you said, then he could interrupt all that stuff. And I tell you, if you don't have the answer to that, they just nail you to the wall. But we have the answer, don't we? How many people want to hear it again? What do you say to someone like that? You say to them, God gave you free will to choose him or not. He gives us the ability to say, I reject you. With God, when you look at the characteristics of who he is, he's loving, compassionate, caring, loves us so much that he gave his son so that we could have right relationship with him. But one thing he did do, in his definition of love, it's not to make us a bunch of puppets or robots. He gives you and me the position, the opportunity to either serve him or not serve him. Love is giving the other person permission to not love. If he was a dictator, he would say, fall on your knees before me. That's not love. So he gave mankind in the Garden of Eden a place that was absolutely fantastic. There was no bugs. There was no weeds. You didn't have to do a whole lot of stuff that we have to do today. That's what he gave mankind. And what did mankind do with it? We messed it up, didn't we? We immediately took the scepter that we had been given. God says, here, you reign on earth. I've given you it all. And what we did, see, wasn't too long before we messed it up. And we gave that scepter to the enemy, to Satan, to Lucifer. From that point on, weeds begin to come up. From that point on, there was mosquitoes. From that point on, the fruit would get rotten. From that point on, there was rebellion. God didn't do any of that. The answer is, he gave mankind a perfect world, and he says, I'm here with you to help you through the whole process. And mankind says, I'll do it myself. Thank you, I'd rather do it myself. And that's what we see. Don't you know that God laments over mankind and their suffering and the things that have been genetically passed down through the generations? Cancer. There was no cancer. There was no flu. There was no sinus problems. There was nothing. Nothing. Forgive my slang. If you will return to me, the Lord says, if you will return to me, then I will take the world system that you live in and turn it to the good. Amen. Do we still have characteristics of stuff that has been passed down through the generation? Absolutely. But I guarantee you it was not God's plan. And I guarantee you when we get God into the situation, then things happen. And you've heard my story when I had cancer. I was, once I found out that God says he's not going to heal me miraculously, if you were in the church, I got up in the church and I said, I can't wait for this surgery. And I don't like holes. I don't like any kind of holes. So I was at, the Lord said, I asked him, just, am I going to make it? And he said, you're going to make it. I said, that's it. There must be something. And this is how we're to look at life. There must be something in experiences that you are in God's will for him to put, what have you walked through it. And I knew I was going to get a revelation of Jesus that I could never have gotten any other way. And that's the way we're supposed to approach life. There's a pony in here. And we've been talking about ponies and manure and fertilizer. How many know that fertilizer happens? So with that whole process, God says that I'll take your world and I'll take a nation who is honoring me and I will protect and I will watch over. And for us who understand the process, what we have done is we have pushed God out of this nation. We have bound his desire to bless. And then we have rejected him. And as it says in Romans chapter 1, those actually doing things that are evil and calling them good. I was listening to someone this morning and talking about Israel. Everybody point to that thing and say, stop. I don't have faith for it either. I just talk faster. He was saying he was over in Israel and he was ministering and a lady came up to him afterwards and said, I heard you speaking, mister. I heard you speaking. And when you go home to the United States, you tell them that the only ones that are standing with us in the entire world are the Christians. No longer is this nation overseeing and blessing Israel. The Bible says, if whoever blesses Israel, I will bless. And what we have done, we can't understand why we're going through troubles and difficulties and situations. We've said, God, we no longer want to have your influence in our life. But my friends, the church is still down here on earth. And that means there's more things for us to do. And we have got to recognize what it means that you have been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we're not just trying to make it through safely. You can't protect yourself anyway. Isn't it wonderful to be able to walk outside the door and the Lord and say, Lord, you're my shield and my covering and my buckler. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. And you go back and you say, hell no. And what?
Heaven, yes.
And heaven, yes. God's unfolding plan for revival, and it's going to be through you. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. It's going to be done through you. Are we in trouble or what? Is he in trouble? I'm going to talk to you about that in just a moment. Perhaps. I'm going through very quickly. We've been looking at equipping you to do the work of the ministry. You know, my job is to equip you. Your job is to do the work of the ministry. Yeah. It's been sort of reversed for a long, long time in the church. Bring the person to the pastor. I do it. I'm happy to do that. But my position is not just to give you a fish. My position is to hand you a fishing pole. And Jesus said that we are supposed to be fishers of men. Some people either lost their bait, or they can't find the hook, or something. That's who you are. Your life is the bait. Fish love bait. It may be a worm, but it's what's inside of you, what made you, that causes you to be different from the world. And if you look at, I'm not a fisherman, but if you throw, a lot of those things are really shiny and they flop and they flip and whatever and it catches the light and the fish go, whoa! And they bite it. That's what we're to be. Salt and light. Salt makes people thirsty. Light brings revelation. We are going to be the people that are going to experience, and I'm not a doomsdayer. In fact, when I started this whole thing, it sounded like a bunch of doom. But God says to us, I know the end from the beginning. When I found that out, I said, great, wonderful. So I began to look at the situations and the circumstances where everybody else or a lot of people were into the doom and gloom kind of thing. And I'm saying, Lord, it's your opportunity. And when it gets down to the point where it's so bad, and I'll tell you, I don't know where, seems to me, I can't imagine. I was talking last week to someone and I can't fathom the creativity of the enemy. It's absolutely amazing to me. Some of us older people, we would have said there's no way in the world that some of these things, no way in the world, you got to be kidding me. And yet, when we say no way, the enemy comes back and says, way. And you want to take your family and go into a bunker somewhere, lock the door and whatever. Don't let them out. And that's what some people are doing. They may not lock themselves out, but I'm just making through life. I don't want to, I'm not, and just give up. And those divine appointments that God has set up for us as Christians who can bring light into darkness, the person just goes back and they're bound. I'm going to be talking in the area of equipping our ministry here. We looked at how to release the anointing. We've looked at the understanding of calling, ministry, and destiny. You're calling. You have a calling. We laid out the scripture. You have a ministry. In fact, you are the ministers. Turn to somebody and say, minister, whatever your name is. And turn. You want to make it really unusual? You know what the Bible calls you? It calls you a saint. Go figure. Mother Teresa just got honored in sainthood. Do you know in heaven your name is Saint? Saint John? How about that? Turn to somebody and say, you're a saint. Tell them their name right there. You're a saint. You got it. So act like one. All right. We looked at how to raise the anointing and minister to others. We also looked at the recognition that how to stop robbery in your life. Who do you think is doing all this stuff out there that you see in the news? The powers of hell in the end times are going to be raised up. And they're going to be absolutely what seemingly is out of control. But, God says in those very same time, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I'm going to raise up a standard of righteousness. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, again, he's talking to you. You are the standard of righteousness. But Pastor, I don't feel righteous. So I think we ought to just throw the whole thing out. Let's try something else. I don't feel righteous. I know what I did last. I yelled at the cat or I did this or whatever. And, well, you are not righteous for what you do. You are righteous because of him. And the wonderful thing about this and those listening online, when we look at ourselves, we see all the flaws and the mistakes. Because most people lean towards the negative. And that's certainly what society is today. But when God looks at us, he looks at us through the screen or the filter of Jesus. Isn't that cool? Now I feel like a saint. You are. And the enemy will try everything he possibly can to cause you from stepping into that place. We fight not against the flesh, but against principalities and powers and dominions and everything that would try to exalt itself against God's will. Hallelujah. We also looked at how to minister spiritual warfare to others. We have been called to set the captive free, right? How many know you can't set the captive free unless you go after the captor? God says, I have given you power and authority to bind and to loose, to come against the powers of the enemy. And there should never be a time where you see something going on that you don't bind it. When you see the powers of hell going on in your neighbor, in your cubicle, in your whatever it might be, in the name of Jesus, I bind that. In the name of Jesus, I bind that. Every time I hear something, and I told you, every time I hear something on the news that is against the Lord, I say, in the name of Jesus, I bind that. Now, you're talking about a lot of binding because there's a lot of that stuff going on. But you don't just sit back and bury your head under in a whatever you want to bury it in or have been buried in it. Because if we don't do in anything, the enemy has been given permission to do it. We looked at that. We also looking at this whole area of preparing the church to release the dynamic of the Holy Spirit. Extremely important. Who's the one that is going to be activating us, the church? It's the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And we're talking more about John than John's baptism. We're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what we have spoken about. Quickly, we also, 2016, I says it's the year of grace and mercy. We will see that. Grace for us, mercy for the nation. We've been continue on the power of grace. And I said this a couple times, if you do not understand grace, you will never be able to move in the anointing of the Lord. If you do not grasp that, and that's why I've been banging on it these last couple months. If you understand what grace is all about, then you will, with confidence, go out into the world and saying, Lord, I am covered by your grace, and I have the ability to be able to speak grace. And we talked about Zerubbabel. We thought it was just unmerited favor, but it actually means to live in the awareness that God's is with us. As we said, it defeats living in grace, literally means to know that God is with us. that we have that authority. And I outlined a bunch of things that's in the Bible. Important, as I said, understanding grace is a key to the Lord's provision in your life and through your life. If you don't believe that you are worthy to be able to receive something, you won't get it. That's what Scripture says, right? If anyone needs wisdom, good old James, just ask, but don't be like the waves that go in and out. And if the enemy tells you you are unworthy, you say, yes, you're right. I am unworthy, but he is worthy. Now, get thee behind me. The purpose of receiving grace is to release grace, we said. The definition, unmerited, undeserved, unearned. How many know there's a lot of uns in there? Unmerited, undeserved, unearned gift of God's favor, blessing, release through the completed sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we are to allow that, the completed sacrifice. I got interrupted, and I allow the Lord to interrupt. Maybe look foolish for a moment, but there's always something, there's a reason for it. The Lord says that if you don't believe that I am able to take care of you, that my plans for you are to prosper you, to cause you to be in health, and all the things that are necessary. He said, say it this way, then my son died. His death on the cross was incomplete. If we are doubting God's ability, questioning God's ability to be able to do what he said, then what we are saying actually is that his sacrifice was incomplete. And there needs to be something else. God says, you can't earn it. There is nothing that you need to do except my son who has covered you, and what your position is to accept it and then stand in it and minister to it. I'm going to talk coming up, Lord willing, about the end times and how those things are going to come together. And how many people know anything about the rapture? You know about the rapture? A lot of people are. The rapture means to be caught up. And Scripture says that the church, when Jesus comes back, he doesn't come down to earth, he comes in the heavens, and the church is going to be raptured. It says that in Thessalonians, it says it in Matthew, that the church is going to be caught up. You're not going to be here anymore. This is going to be, and the blinking of an eye. How many know that's cool? I told the Lord, because I'd gotten a new car when I first started in the ministry. It was a Volvo, go figure. But I thought I had to do something, you know. I used to have fancy cars. So when I called in the ministry, I said, I'm going to get a pastor's car. And I thought the Volvo was the closest thing. And I said, I don't know about you, but the Prius, yeah. Yeah. So with that recognition that what the Lord is saying, that there is no need in that rapture situation, I have the answer. There's a lot of people that say, the tribulation, we're going to go through the tribulation. Other people say, first 3.5 years. Some people say we're post-trib, that means pre-trib, and we're going up before the tribulation, which means that 7 years in Daniel. I don't want to get too muddy into the weeds here right now. Some people say it's in the middle after the first 3.5 years, and some people say that the church is going through the tribulation. I have the answer. that has been dealing in this those three thoughts. I used to say I was a pan tribulate, which means they all pan out in the end. But there's a way of understanding, and I guarantee you, I really got good news. I can prove it. Wouldn't you want to know what it is? Yeah. That's what I said. I shouldn't have gotten to this because I have to come up with it. I feel very strongly, and I can prove it according to Scripture. I did a 6-month series on the end times, which we are going to do again with the new revelation. I can firmly believe that I am a pre-tribulationist. And what that means is that the church will go. We don't have to go through tribulation again. The tribulation was taken care of on the cross. There's no more chastising the church. It has been chastised. And some people say, well, Jesus said, when you see these things, when he's talking about the Antichrist and whatever. Well, Pastor, it says, Jesus says, when you see these things, then know that the time is the Antichrist. The Antichrist doesn't show up until the middle of the tribulation. Actually, he starts at the beginning, and it doesn't get bad until the last 3.5 years. And then Paul says that in Thessalonians, that we're going to not see those things. So who was talking? Where's it? This is definitely a bunny trail, but it's an important bunny trail. Maybe it's a big rabbit. But there's a reason why. And that is, who was Jesus talking to? Once you have this, then you can all be theologians. You'll know more than a lot of them. Who was Jesus talking to? Jesus, this is not a trick question. Jesus was talking to the Jews. Paul was talking to the church. The Jews are going through the tribulation. The church is not. So when you understand, they're not contradicting one another. Jesus came, he didn't come for you. He came for the Jews. But on his leaving, he brought down the Holy Spirit. And that's when the church began. And when the church is raptured, the Holy Spirit goes with us. He's no longer on the earth. And because he's on the earth, he's empowering the Christians to do the work of the ministry. So we will not see the tribulation. Because if that were the case, then Jesus Christ's sacrifice was insufficient. And we have to go through the tribulation and dealing with the Antichrist and all that. Does that answer your question? It's going to have to do until we talk more about it. Where did that come from? How did I go back on that? Because it's undeserved. Every time you fear something, you are saying in a way, tantamount to saying, I don't believe that Christ on the cross was sufficient for my situation. And if you start thinking things that way, if you start looking at Jesus, you either completed everything or you didn't. And I choose to believe what God's word says. And all of this other stuff is undeserved. And I don't have to work for it. I don't have to strive for it. What I have to do is just love Jesus. Just love Jesus. And it's amazing what happens. It's amazing what's happening. We continue looking at releasing grace, and we talked about that. I'm just going through quickly. Speaking, God spoke things into existence. He didn't think things into existence. He declared them. So when you see something, you can say, hell no, or grace, grace. Like I said, my little grandkids are walking around, grace, grace. grace to the dog, grace, sushi, grace, grace. Jesus spoke to the demons. We have the ability. The purpose of receiving grace is releasing grace, that we said. When grace is released, grace is releases. That's a very good statement. Speaking grace into your situation. We've been looking at the importance of releasing grace. And as you remember, as we looked at acknowledged dependency upon God, it neutralizes the enemy. I can do this. Releases the kingdom of God, removes obstacles, activates faith, and creates life. That's the importance of releasing grace. The next point is this. Now you go to your notes. The importance of releasing grace releases the breakthrough. So very important. Releasing grace releases the breakthrough. Acts chapter 1 says, you shall receive what? Power. Power. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses. Power. What do you need power for if you're sitting on your power? I love what Paul said. He said, I didn't come speaking with eloquent words. He came with a demonstration of the power of God. A demonstration of the power of God. I said before, Jesus didn't preach the gospel first. What did he do? He released the power of God first. How many know that gets people's attention? And in order for us to get people's attention, we have to understand what it means to walk in breakthrough. You have to be a person that causes breakthrough. That's nice. Okay. What in heaven's name does that mean? Well, I'm going to try to explain it to you real quickly. In order for you to release breakthrough, you have to receive and live in the power of God. In order, you have to receive and live in the power of God. How many know that that can be done? You will receive power after the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you've got the power. Now, what are you doing with your power? The analogy that I use is like taking a 12-volt battery, sticking it up on the shelf, and can't understand why the car's dead. That 12-volt battery has all the potential to turn that beast on, but because it's not connected, all it is, it's a boat anchor, right? A battery that's not connected is not worth anything. The Holy Spirit is the person who brings the power to the Christian. How many know sometimes the terminals aren't connected? But this, and the reason I'm bringing this up, is so important for the times that we're going to be living in. The power to release grace. In order for us to release breakthrough, we must literally receive and live in the power of God. I'm going to make some statements. The Lord did not intend you to be normal. Now, some of you can help them out very easily. But he never wanted us to live a normal life. What's a normal life? To me, a normal life is something that does not demonstrate the power of God through my life. I told you, that's one thing I really don't care for, and that's nice Christians. Nice. That's a nice person. He's a nice Christian. Nice Christian. I'm nice. You can do whatever you want to, because I'm going to be politically correct, because I want you to think I'm a nice person. Jesus wanted me to be nice. Pardon me? He didn't want you to be nice. He wanted you to be effective. Jesus didn't come down here to be nice. He came to turn things right side up. You're not to live a normal life, so quit pandering after these other people out there that haven't the foggiest idea what life is all about and the joy that only He can bring. But boy, if I lived in that house and if I wore this thing and if I had that kind of car and I did, oh my, look at his position and look at that family. And what we end up doing is say, God's saying to us, what are you talking about? What in heaven's name do they have that you can't have only with the anointing of the Lord, which fulfills everything? Amen, O me. But the world sets up a system, like I said, this is what you should have. This is what you should eat. This is where you should live. This is what you should drive. And they hold up this carrot. And then once you get it, if you do get it, they change the model on you. He wants us to live dynamically. Dynamically. What does that mean? It's the word where we get the word dynamite. In fact, that's what it says. You shall receive dynamite when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. I'm not going there. To deal with life situation with a conviction of overcoming. To live with a life of conviction that we are to live as overcomers. I don't care what the problem is. Lord, you're going to give me the ability to either go under it, through it, or around it. Yeah? I'm going to put an applause tack on this track before we put it on me. Not just to make it through, but to abound in every area, to experience breakthrough in every challenge, to experience breakthrough. Breakthrough. It's like getting up in the morning and saying, Lord, I'm looking to see breakthrough today in my life. Whatever challenge that is, with family, friends, whatever it might be, Lord, I'm believing for breakthrough. The only way this is accomplished is to move in God's power. And we're going to show you how to do that. John 1:12 says, to those who received him and put their trust in him in his name, he gave them the power to become children of God. The ability for you to be the person that you want to be as a Christian. God says, I give you power for that. I can't live up to this stuff, Pastor. No, you can't, but get God's power. Receive God's power and watch what happens in your life. How fear can leave, how anxiety, worry, and all those other garbage things that ground our battery. God's dynamic, miraculous power is available and is to be released through us daily. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that works within us. How many know, what is that, rheostat, or some of you engineers that turns up the power, whatever that is, that thing. We have the ability to keep the power down and turn the power up. You have all the power that you need. So is that, what is that thing? Anybody? It regulates the power, huh? Rheostat, okay. My engineer over here, Mr. Fix-It. That's what that is. We, according to the power that is at what? Work. That is at work. Work means action. Jesus says, you will receive power. One translation says, to become my wit, to reveal me. The release of power is a revelation of Jesus. You shall receive power to reveal Jesus to the world. That's our assignment. Jesus says, I've come to reveal the Father. What you've seen of the Father, you see in me. Now go and make disciples. Tell them about me. But I want to be nice and not offend your wherever your head's at. As you go to hell. That's pretty tough, isn't it? I want to be nice to you on your way to hell. Now, I never put it quite that way, but when you get down to the nitty-gritty, that's exactly what's happening. And there's people that you know are on their way to hell, and some people, not here, but people listening online, are being nice to them instead of saving them. Anyone who has faith in me will do whatever I have been doing, and he will do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes." It's the power of God. And I'm getting ready to close, so you can put your shoes back on. That's the definition of an optimist. An optimist is the one who puts his shoes on the first time the pastor says it in closing. But I'll be careful. The power is abundantly available to every spirit-filled Christian. Miracles and wonders are supposed to be a part of our life on a regular basis. When was the last time you did a miracle? What does it say here? We are supposed to live with the power, releasing miracles through our lives. Who, me? No, the guy next door. We're supposed to be living in miracles. Now, I'm not talking just about, but also also add those into it, where you're praying for people and they're getting sick, you're praying for situations. When you speak the word of God with power, believing, you are speaking a miracle to take place. How can the miracles get there unless you release them? And you have not because you ask not. And if you don't believe, you can't, you're just go right on your floor. Unless we lay hold of this provision, we will never fully receive all that the Lord has through us. What I'm talking about, folks, is we're going to start energizing you guys. If I have to go get my battery charger, but it's what the world needs and what your friends need and what your family needs. That energizing, the energizer bunny. Much of our breakthrough only comes through power encounters. See where I'm at here. However, the key objective to the enemy is to neutralize the power in our lives. The thief comes to rob. Let me tell you something. The key of the enemy is to try to neutralize you. And if you are walking in unbelief, you are walking powerless. God knows exactly what he desires to accomplish through you, and all you got to do is just let him do it. One of it is have your head screwed on straight so that you're not becoming an antagonist to God. And all of a sudden, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a way to live. In your face, devil. Purpose is to neutralize. He wants to neutralize our power. He limits our effectiveness and robs our witness. By removing our power, we present a powerless Jesus to the world. How about that? I don't want this, and we're closing. That's twice. It had to be there. I don't want the church to present Jesus as an option. That's what nice people do. When we're doing the way God wants us to in ministry, he's loving, caring, compassionate, and kind. All of his ministry, even though it was black and white, it was done with a sense of love and compassion. A powerless Jesus. One of the greatest tools of the enemy, you've heard me say, is a powerless church. I'm not going any further. I want to do this. Everybody close your eyes. Well, I can do it. Open your eyes again. I'm almost there. Power, the power definition, the ability to do or act capably, a capability of accomplishing something. This is the regular Webster's definition. A person who or thing that possesses or exercises authority or influence. The ability or capacity to perform an act effectively. Strength, force, or energy. Power that is not released is power lost. And I don't want this, and we're going to show you coming up, this is not to be just an abstract term. Because I believe that God, I'm going to start praying for people during the service when God tells me to release a new anointing upon, and I'll tell you something, it's amazing what happens and the stirring in our spirit, man. Because it says this, and with this as I'm closing, Luke chapter 18 through 19, this is the ministry. This was Jesus' ministry. He says this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to declare good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, he says to us, that's what we are to do. And I tell you what, you shall receive power in order to accomplish the tasks that I have for you. Happy day, folks. Before it was for us, before the grace revelation was for us, now it's for the world. It's for the world. And we have to demonstrate just the way Jesus did. And there will be times, again, like we have experienced, where there are going to be signs and wonders. Things that are happening, that will happen, that will absolutely cause you a sign that makes you wonder. And we have seen it. And it's going to happen. And I'm not just saying this. I'm going to say something else. I promise you. I promise you. You will see with your own eyes signs that make you wonder. Anybody believe that? How many people are candidates? Look up and say, use me, Lord. And then bow with me as we close. Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace that abounds, for your loving kindness that's better than life. Thank you for the understanding, Lord, that we've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. And it's not over till you say it's over. Thank you that for whatever challenge we're going through, it's an opportunity for us to release your miraculous power, to speak into that mountain, to speak into that storm, to speak into that, to whatever is blocking these challenges, Father, are opportunities for you to teach us what it means to move in your power and your authority. God, we ask, and I pray for my brothers and my sisters, that revelation of grace, that revelation of who they are in you, would cause them to so be spirit in their spirit man that they begin to see what you've planted within them to help set the captive free. It's all about your grace. And just take a moment right now and just speak to the Lord. Whatever you want to say. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. They call it grace, folks. Look up. You can talk to him on your way home. I want us to close. I want you to be confident. You want to do something for your pastor? Yeah. Does anybody? I want you to leave this place with a sense of confidence that God's gone before you, prepared everything for this next week. Can you do that? If not, I'm going to preach it some more. But if you really believe that, then I want you to stand with me. Let's give the Lord a praise offering this morning as we close with the song. Come on, give him a hand this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Letting go of every single dream. I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war.
Hallelujah. That's a good word to end on. I will trust in you, Lord. Take your neighbor's hand and let's agree together. The Bible says, two agree touching anything shall be done by my Father which is in heaven. Father, I pray for my brother and my sister on my right and left. I pray that dynamic release of your authority through them would cause them to walk in that sense of divine appointment. I pray, Father, for your blessings upon them. For those listening online, Lord, let your Holy Spirit reveal in a revelation that is new to them and what is needed by them, because that's the kind of God that you are. Let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord. Father, I release your blessing upon your people. I release health. I release provision. I release freedom. I release your presence. I release your anointing. And I release your victory. And we claim that together. Now receive the benediction. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes. Everybody say yes. Establish the work of your hands. And we agree together in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Turn around and give somebody a hug. God bless you. Have an awesome week. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.